2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Dear brethren, God bless you. We will share with you today an important message about how to survive during the end-time persecutions and the period when the microchip will be implemented. But this is not just for the end time, because right now, in many countries, Christians are persecuted and killed for their faith. Brother Joseph, what is your counsel for these persecuted Christians and for all of us for the end-time preparation?
God bless you.
God bless
the
you.
Lord. Lord help us. Well, it's not so much my counsel, it's just what the Bible says. You can see how the early church overcame the Roman Empire and every persecution. Of course, there were many martyrs, many tortures, killed
yes.
by the life, crucified, etc. But they are the winning strategies, which the church of today doesn't have. That's why the church is losing, particularly in the West.
And which is that?
That is a catacomb strategy.
What does that mean?
That means that the Christians were building tunnel under the cities, and they were hiding there when it was necessary.
Wasn't that just in Rome?
No, there was many cities in the world, the catacombs, many, many other cities mm-hmm. were catacombs. And the archaeological findings of these catacombs, for example, they found some cities built like caved in into the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were building in Cappadocia, which is modern Turkey. They have like archaeological, touristic places. So people go with buses, take a look, they take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you search Cappadocia, Turkey, you see all these houses, buildings straight inside the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whole cities, whole towns, villages in the mountains. So it's a form of catacombs, you understand?
But
and that's how they survived and overcame the persecution for the first 300 years.
I believe in the end time we will have to hide in this kind of ways. But right now, I know there are so many countries where Christians suffer a lot. In the West, we don't realize because we have more freedom. But Christians who are killed and tortured for their faith today, in our days, are they supposed to hide in catacombs? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I understand that it doesn't make sense. Like, are we supposed to,
yeah.
you're asking, are we supposed to make tunnels under the ground?
Right.
Of course not. That's not what I mean. It's a strategy. In those days, it was possible. Now, not.
Okay.
All right. So, with every difficulty, God will have the solutions for the moment.
All right.
One strategy was in the days of Moses, another strategy in the days of Joshua, other strategies in the days of Elijah, different strategies, completely different, opposite almost in the days of Jesus Christ, which he was not anymore killing the enemies, but he was converting them.
Yes.
And today, 2,000 years after Jesus, the strategy changes again. Okay, now, the principle never changes, okay? Now, I'm talking about the New Testament. We don't go around anymore fighting wars like with Joshua and Moses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we fight wars in the spirit. We don't kill our enemies, but we convert them. Okay, that's a big
Amen.
Change.
Yes.
Because in the Old Testament, the world was not ready for the love of forgiveness, redemption of the gospel. But now, from the New Testament up, God thought, decided, judged that the world was ready for that. And it worked. Christianity in 300 years overcame the world. So we need a new strategy.
Okay. And which is the new strategy?
Well, first of all, the Christians today, they're not even learning, most of the Christians, from the New Testament. How did Jesus do? How the apostle did? They were not trusting in the politicians. Today, the church is trusting in politics. They just pray that the president they vote for, they hope that he's going to keep his word, he's going to keep his promises, he's going to do this, etc., etc. It's not going to happen. The Christian today, there is a lot of false Christianity, okay, as well as mixed with true Christianity.
Yes.
In the same church, there is true Christian, false Christian. So most of the churches today are asleep in lethargy. They're just hoping, waiting for the government to change the world, to go bomb Iraq and bomb Afghanistan and subdue all the bad Muslims so they, the good Christians, can take over. This is the maximum of stupidity, 100%.
So okay, that's the wrong strategy.
We are not supposed to go bomb Iraq like those Christians in America are voting for. They were supporting Bush, who was bombing Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, it's almost demonic. You cannot do that. You know, you don't go kill the Iraqi. You go preach the gospel to the Iraqi.
Amen.
You don't vote for Bush so you can send the soldiers and kill them. Okay, if you have to vote, vote. But just... Don't worry about the vote. It's not going to happen. Don't you see that these politicians, they just promise whatever people, whatever tickles people's ears, and then they do whatever is good for their new world order that they are puppets of.
But what about, there are certain countries where other religions, besides Christianity, there are other religions who are very strong and they oppose and fight and kill Christians. And they try to evangelize these other religions, but it's not so easy.
You have to trust the Lord. You have to keep going with the gospel. You can see in the Bible, New Testament, not only they were persecuting the Christian, but they were killing the Christian. They crucified the Christian. For 300 years, there was major persecution from the Romans against the Christian. They kept going. You keep going and going and going and going until you convert your enemy or you die in the process.
So now what's your counsel for the Christians of today, to be very specific?
Well, my counsel is churches in the house.
Churches in the house.
Yeah, like the Sunday morning building is not scriptural. All right?
Well,
in Deuteronomy, it says, you shall not worship the Lord wherever you want to, but in the place where the Lord will tell you. And that was just Jerusalem. That was destroyed. So now the place is, like it says in John chapter 4, to the Samaritan, Jesus speaking, it says, in spirit and in truth. He said, not in Jerusalem, not on this mountain,
but what's
not in my church building. Not in your church building, but in spirit and truth. In other words, wherever there are two or more believers together, under a tree, in the Mount of Olives where Jesus was going, at the Samaritans, at the Samaritan's woman's well, wherever there are believers, that's the church. But you can meet also in a building, but not because that's God's house. In fact, the best place is to do like Jesus at the early church, 300 years. The best place to meet is in the houses. Okay?
What's the difference to meet in a house or in a normal building?
Because normal building, after a while, people worship the building as well as God. They worship God and the building and God. And whoever, there is always some Christian politician, quotes, so that will take control of the building, and put some more money, this and that. And whoever controls the building, the dead building, controls also the living church.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there are scriptures very specific. 1 Corinthians 16, 19, Romans 16, 5, Amora and others, John 4, verse 21. Okay, Jesus says, in spirit and in truth, they were meeting in the houses. Acts 7:48, God does not live in temples made with hands.
I see.
So, okay, today the Christians are worshiping more the building than the Holy Spirit sometimes 50-50.
When you say they were meeting in houses, it means they were changing houses or always in the same
house?
Yes,
when there was persecution, they were moving, changing from house to house, and at the drop of a hat, they meet in another place, the next meeting, because there is always a danger of Judases. Today, most churches are infiltrated by Judases, Pharisees, false Christians, Sapphires, Ananias, Sapphira. So they betray you when the Antichrist is around.
Mm-hmm.
Now is already time now to start meeting in houses. Get out of the building, because we need training. We need to learn to meet in houses, Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday. Meet whenever you want and worship the Lord. Understand?
Amen.
You see, in the house, they never catch up with you. You can just move around, hide, etc. They never know what you're doing in your house, okay?
Okay.
But in the building, they catch you. They know where you are. They come and get you like sitting ducks, like sleeping in a dormitory. So, of course, when the Antichrist comes, they still kill somebody, imprison somebody. They be Judases. They tell you where your house is. They come to your house, but there is no church. It's just a house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep 50 Bibles like I did in Eastern Europe. Like I was in Romania, and I had a house full of Bibles there, and the police came.
Hmm.
It was 1992, and there was still communist mentality, and they told me I'm not supposed to have a church in the house. I said, okay, whatever you say, get out of here. So I still continued. You understand?
Amen.
So, in other words, you change house, and the devil never knows where you are. They keep kill some. In the tribulations coming, the Antichrist will kill some of us, but they will never destroy everybody, like Amen. The whole church, Sunday morning, all they sing hallelujah, hallelujah, and okay, they know where we are, like in Egypt and other places, the demon possessed, they pass by, the enemy of the church threw bombs into the church Sunday morning, you read that in the news. They just pass by the motorbike, throw bombs into the church, and keep driving. What a stupid strategy to meet in buildings. Do like Jesus, do like the early church, meet in houses. And the time to get out of the sleepy dormitory church building Sunday morning is now. Know when the tribulations come, when the Antichrist has come, you have no oil in your lamp, you have no training, you have no experience, you're depending on a pastor, you're depending on a building. Listen, depend on the pastor of the Holy Spirit. We each, 1 Peter 2:9, are a pastor.
Amen.
And a true pastor will teach you to become better than him. Get away from this pastor just wants your money Sunday morning.
Amen.
And they want to be the only pastor. We are all pastors in the name of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And a true pastor will teach you to do greater works than him. Like Jesus said, greater works than this you shall do.
Thank you, Lord. A pastor
who never wants you to take his place is a false pastor, a mercenary, just wants your money Sunday morning. A true pastor will be like Jesus, will teach you to become like him and better. And when he takes his place in his church, in the house, he will go pioneer a new church. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus' name.
So then with the churches in the house, you actually avoid a lot of persecutions?
Yes, for sure. But not just that, but the point is not just to save ourselves, but so that we can evangelize the lost. Use our houses to invite the lost,
which
wouldn't come to your religious building where they have to change the water baptism, etc. But they
yes.
come to your house for a piece of cake, a coffee, a tea, and then talk about this, talk about that, and then slowly they see your love and you invite them one time, two times, 10 times, as long as they are worthy,
yes.
as long as they accept it, then the day will come that your love, tangible, it will convert them, they will receive Jesus. These things don't happen as easily in the religious building.
No.
So the best way to evangelize is not with a diploma, theology, stuff, blah, blah, you get in the schools, but with your love, sitting down, listen to them, listen to their woes, the problem, and then slowly, when you listen to the problems, you pour the medicines of the gospel of the love, explaining how God helped you, how Jesus converted you and brought peace, and the lost will get converted.
Amen.
This is a million times much easier in a house
than
in a cold, marble, perfect building, the house of God, temple, blah, blah.
I mean, people don't go to the official church today. Imagine if they will during the persecutions. I'm talking about the non-safe.
But the official church, a national church, you get the money from the government today, atheist government, secular government, they will take the mark of the beast in the Great Tribulation, for sure. Just like the evangelicals were supporting Hitler in Germany, the Orthodox supporting Stalin in Russia, and the Catholics cooperated with the fascists in Italy. You know, the national churches, a lot of them, I don't even know if they're born again. Only a part of them, they're true Christians. And those will be meeting in their house, like the early church. Amen.
Amen. So the solution is to follow the Bible, follow the example of the early church, hide, meet in the houses, and the Lord will protect us.
Amen.
Not
the example of the churches today.
Amen.
Most of them are off the track, they're worshiping God and the building. The example of Jesus and the early church. The church of today, all over the world, most of the, especially in the West, mostly off the track. Keep your eyes on Jesus and the New Testament, how they did it. It's the commandos, the guerrilla war, attack and hide. That's how the Americans lost in Vietnam. Their enemy, the Viet Cong, they were attacking Americans and hiding. In catacombs, they were actually building tunnels, and the Americans, the superpower, lost the war, and they won. Why? They were fighting and hiding. The commandos, the catacombs, the hiding strategy and the warfare. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
Amen.